Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We exalt you and magnify you. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that as we do an expository teaching tonight, I'm praying that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 10 through 15. 10 through 15. So I need your attention right here on the screen as we prepare to bring forth the Word. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Trouble Not the Children of God. Trouble Not the Children of God. Let me just pause for a moment. The reason why I entitled this, Trouble Not the Children of God. You see, during this portion of Scripture, Paul had issues with the Judaizers and troublemakers of the day in his time. And they wanted to try to change the course of what God had already planned out for the Galatian church and for all the believers that were born again. But evildoers had crept in and were trying to pull them away from the truth. And so Paul mentions that that one particular person or many would be punished severely by God. And I'm here to let you know, saints of God, that pray for those who would persecute you, who would persecute me, who would talk vile and slanderous things about God's people. And I'm talking in general, around the world. We are not to touch God's anointed, and we're going to look at that in Scripture. And so I'm praying that God will truly speak to us through this expository teaching, and that we could truly glorify God. So, if you're there, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and let's break down verses 10 through 15. And here we go. And it reads, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Uh-oh, there it is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Look at this in verse 12. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. That's the key right there, saints of God. Here we go. Look at this. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by another. Wow, wow, saints of God. So, are we ready to expound these verses? Let's go now to verse 10. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Wow, wow. Did you catch that, saints? These evildoers will bear judgment. You see, in spite of his obvious concern over the Galatian believers and the dangerous situation they face, Paul believed that they would come to their senses. Oh, yes, he did. His confidence was based on trusting the Lord to bring them back to faith that they knew, saints of God, to be true. Oh, that's right. Paul was confident that the person who had been troubling and confusing the Galatian believers would receive due punishment. Now, I want us to look back at a few scriptures regarding those who would come against God's people. There is a strict disciplined life that you and I must live. But let me just say this. If we're doing what God has called you and I to do, and evildoers come our way, we don't have to say a word. God will fight our battle. Oh, yes, He will. Let's take a look how King David drew this out really clearly. And let's look at Psalms right here. Psalms 105, 12 through 15. Let's read this for a moment. Look at this. When they were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another, He permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, He rebuked kings for their sins. You see that? These were God's people that God cared for, saying, "Do not touch My anointed ones and do My prophets no harm." Did you catch that, saints? Did you catch that? Let me just pause there. I can personally experience, I will not mention names, but there have been organizations, certain people that have come against, especially in the early part of Amazing Grace. We've been now pastoring for almost 16 years. But God had to deal harshly with those who came against our infant church. Because if the enemy would have succeeded, I wouldn't be here preaching to you right now. But God had a plan. When God has a plan, the gates of hell cannot prevail. Let me just say this. If God be for you, who can be against you? You have to realize that if you are called by God, you have been anointed, approved by God. Praise God. Praise God. Why? Because God has a plan. God has a plan. And we have been called by God. We've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. You have to realize that you are here for a purpose. A purpose. That's right. And God's going to fulfill the plan in your life. When you were forming your mother's womb, He already had a plan. Matter of fact, before you were ever formed, He already knew your name. And so, out of the billions of people, you need to get a hold of this. Out of the billions of people in this world, He chose you. He chose me to walk worthy of our call, to walk with fear and trembling and working out our salvation, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's by His mercy He saved you and I, and His grace. And so now, the only thing that we can do right now at this moment is love Him with our whole heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as what? Ourself. Oh, that's right. And embrace the cross. Embrace the call. Embrace the walk that God has provided, and a path that's so clear now in your life to walk worthy of the call. Oh, that's right. Look at this next verse of scripture right up here, found in Psalms 26. Now, I know that the Lord saves His anointed. Look at this. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His hand. You see, the enemy is going to try to set up traps in your life. But because you have been anointed, appointed, and approved by God, let me just say this, the gates of hell cannot prevail. Oh, yeah. You know, there are people that will slander you, they will backbite you, and then they'll even leave the church and still have a hardened heart against you and I. But that's their problem, not ours. We are to love them, forgive them, and move on. Can I get an amen? Don't hold on to that. That is something that God will deal with them. And if they consistently slander you, God will do exactly what we're reading right now. He'll deal with them harshly, especially if they're trying to prevent your ministry from going forth. Oh, that's right. That's right. Don't mess with God's people. That's all I got to say. Don't mess with God's people. Why? Because God's people are truly anointed by Him, and He will watch over them like a mother hen watches over the chicks. Oh, yes. Let's look at this next verse of scripture right here, found in 1 Samuel 26:23. May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into the hand today, but I would not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. Wow. Wow. Are you catching that, saints? Huh? Are you catching that one? Woo! Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says in the New Testament right here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 5 through 12. Look at this. This is the evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. Look at verse 6. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you. What? Oh, that's right. That's right. If someone's stressing you out, let me just say this. Someone's stressing you out. Someone causing a financial hardship. Someone's interfering in your marriage. Whatever the case may be, the same affliction that they impose upon you and me, we just read in the Word right here, God will afflict them. Wow. And you don't have to say a word. And don't even go to your prayers and say, oh, get them, God. No, because that's a type of witchcraft. We don't operate like that. We forgive. We give it to God. And the battle belongs to the Lord. Can I get an amen? Let's complete this passage of Scripture. Look at this. And grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Wow. Look at this in verse 9. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. And when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony is to you was believed. Wow. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this in verse 12 through 15. And when they were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it, and when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do what? Do my prophets no harm. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, while Paul knew that the troublemakers were a group of Judaizers, he singled out the leader of this group, whom he probably did not even know. Wow. You see, my friends, Paul suspected that this man carried a certain amount of weight as a leader. Whoever it is does not so much stress Paul's ignorance of this person's identity as the worthlessness in Paul's eyes of that status he might carry. You see, whoever he may be, however high in leadership or however revered by the Jews, this man is teaching wrong doctrine, Paul was saying. Praise God. Praise God. And by the same token, saints of God, no matter what this leader's position, he would pay the penalty for his wrong teaching. Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. So, let's move on now to verse 11 in Galatians 5. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Look, listen. Paul asked a personal question. Apparently, he was reminded of an accusation against him. If Paul were preaching that people needed to be circumcised in order to be saved, then why were the Judaizers still persecuting him? That's a good question, isn't it? You see, he would be preaching the same message they preached. But the fact that he was still being persecuted was proof that he was still preaching salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Praise God. Praise God. So, my friends, why was Paul persecuted for this message? You see, to human nature, and especially to the Jews brought up to love and revere their law, oh, that's right, they worship the law instead of worshiping the true God. The concept of needing someone else's death in order to be saved was offensive to them. Totally offensive to them. And they the very thought, saints of God, describing the Messiah as an executed convict, disgusted them. Wow. But the impact of Christ's cross on their pride was the greatest stumbling block of all. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, as Paul described to the Corinthians, when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended. And the Gentile says it's all nonsense. Oh, that's right. That's when someone hears the gospel for the first time. Oh, yes. Or just the Jews in nature who basically embrace the law. Look what Paul wrote in Corinthians here. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 23 through 25, look what he wrote. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. Did you catch that? It's all foolishness to them. And it's a stumbling block to the Jews. But to those who are called, that's you and I. Say that with me at home. I am called. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Wow. Why? Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Did you catch that, saints? Wow. You see, Paul had witnessed the rejection of the gospel by both Gentiles and Jews, each for different reasons. Praise God. And so let's move on now to verse 12 in Galatians chapter 5. Look at this. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Wow. Wow. You know, Paul went through a whole bunch of turmoil. Oh, that's right. It was nonsense. A lot of times, saints of God, we're going to experience nonsense, even in the ministry. But you need to focus your eyes on Christ. Can I get an amen? Listen, if you're looking for man's opinion, if you're looking for man's accolades and pats on the back, the same person who praises you in the morning can easily curse you in the evening. Oh, that's right. Listen, I'm very careful. I'm very careful not to let anything get to my head when it's, oh, great sermon, Pastor. Oh, man, that was awesome. You know why? Some of those people don't even come to our church anymore. Oh, come on. You see, I want to stand before Christ one day, and I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. How many of you at home want to hear that? Praise God. Well, see, saints, Paul's words here, though very harsh, were not meant in jest. He wanted to make another point regarding circumcision. And those troublemakers referred again to the false teachers, the Judaizers, who were preaching that believers needed to be circumcised. You see, Christ was a stumbling block to them. As I mentioned earlier, that watching a man die on a hideous cross, they couldn't fathom the fact that to believe that man who died on that cross in a hideous death would bring salvation. So it was a stumbling block to them, and to the Gentiles it was foolishness. But praise God. How many are so blessed that God gave us ears to hear and eyes to see? That God quickened us. God made us come alive. God drew us to the cross through his loving kindness. He gave us a mind to be saved. He gave us a heart to repent. Praise God. And now God has established you and I. You and I are called the saints of God. We are now royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Now God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has set forth a plan for you and I to walk worthy of the call, to praise and to worship, to glorify his name, to let others see Jesus in you, the hope of glory, that we can lay hands in the sick and watch them recover, that we can teach and preach and raise up people in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that we would give a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. We can speak prophetically to their life and watch God do the miraculous. How many of you believe that's what God has called you to do? Well, that's what he has done in Paul's life and all the apostles. And guess what? 2,000 years later, he's using you. He's using me. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, in effect, Paul said that if the false teachers were so concerned about the zeal for the law, maybe they shouldn't stop at circumcision, but go the whole way and mutilate themselves up. Wow. See, my friends, according to their own logic, which is foolishness, we know that, wouldn't make this even holier. The comparison to pagan rituals was probably not lost on the Galatians at all. Oh, that's right. Remember, there was a lot of paganism there when Paul arrived for the first time. Pagan priests of the prominent cult of the goddess of Cybele in Asia were eunuchs castrated as part of a sacred ritual. Wow. And by making this statement, Paul placed circumcision as no better than the pagan rituals of cutting out body parts of the body. Wow. Wow, my friends. Well, let's move on to verse 13. Look at this. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Are you catching that, saints of God? Serve one another. That's the liberty that we have, to worship and to praise and to serve the living God. Look what it says here in John chapter 13. Look at this. A new commandment I give to you, that you what? Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? That's a better commandment. Look what it also says in 1 John. Look at this. 1 John 4, 20 through 21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, woo, the word of God said he is a liar. Say that with me at home. He is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen. Look at this. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has seen not? Woo, man, look at that. Verse 21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Wow. Wow. As I mentioned, saints of God, how many people in your church that you once attended, in our church, I only been involved in three churches, but I seen people leave churches mad, angry. They couldn't stand to be next to someone. And they would just go to another church thinking that it's all going to be better for me over there. And yet, they go with all the junk still in their trunk because they never dealt with that same issue. So someone in that fellowship will get to their last nerve too. And the same ridiculous process will start all over again. Why? Because they never learned to humble themselves before the mighty hand of God. They never understood what humility is. They never understood the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. I don't care what anyone has done to you. If you have the Holy Spirit living inside, God's liquid love will melt your heart and give you a love and a passion even for your enemy. Oh, yes, he will. I've seen this operated in my life and many others who truly, truly, truly love God. And I love God with my whole heart, soul, and mind. I've said that so many times throughout my Christian walk. I've said it publicly over the pulpit that I love God. And I would just tell my wife, I love you, honey. You're so precious to me. But I'm sorry, you're number two. God's number one. And she goes, don't worry, honey, because God's number one in my life, too. She gives it right back to me. Well, we have that in common, that God's first in our life. God should be first in your life. Can I get amen? Jesus should be your all in all. Praise God. But some people don't look at it like that. Some people just read words on paper, but they're not spiritually alive. They haven't fallen in love with Jesus. See, when you fall in love with Jesus, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You become a new creature in Christ. Oh, that's right. And you walk now with God's power and God's help, a walk of humility. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, when Paul ministered among the Galatians, he did not give his converts a new set of rules to obey, as the Judaizers had done. For that would have made them slaves to the law again. Wow. Instead, my friends, the Galatians were called to live in freedom. Paul was the messenger, but they were called by God himself, the author of the gospel. Praise God. You see, my friends, some of Paul's critics may have condemned his preaching of Christian freedom, saying that it would lead to people living without restraint or guidelines, but that's not the case. Paul had an immediate and forceful answer, saints of God, explaining that freedom was not to be used to satisfy the sinful nature. Satan and the flesh use our freedom from law as an opportunity to inflame our desires. This is where we need to guard our heart. This is why you need to be in Bible study. This is why you need to be in prayer. This is why you need to develop a devotional life. So God sets up types of armor, types of defense mechanisms, so that we don't allow Satan and all of his dominions to play havoc on us. If you have the full armor of God on, the moment you wake up and the moment you go to bed, the enemy can't touch you. Oh, that's right. That's right. You see, saints, when we indulge the sinful nature, we open the door to many kinds of unfruitful behaviors and attitudes. Oh, yes, it does. Look what the Word of God says in 2 Peter here. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Look at verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Wow. Wow. Look at this. In verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Verse 11. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? You see, God disperses angels even to our life to watch over us, to care for us. Oh, that's right. You see, saints, the demands of our human nature present a constant threat to our real freedom in Christ. We need His ongoing help to keep our flesh, what? Under control, under subjection. Christian freedom is the freedom to serve one another in love. Love for other believers, saints of God, flows outward in what God has done in each believer's heart, because that's where it comes from, inwardness, that we can demonstrate it outward. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the Greek word for love, agape, refers to selfless, self-giving love. Christian freedom does not leave believers wandering through life without laws, rules, restraints, or even guidelines. Instead, my friends, they freely live according to God's standards and glorify God through loving service to others. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on now to verse 14. Look at this. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? You see, my friends, in fact, Christian servanthood ultimately does what slavery to the law cannot do. It fulfills the law, quoting from the Leviticus scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. Oh, that's right. Let's take a look at this for a moment. Found in Leviticus 19:18. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am what? The Lord. You see, when Jesus was quoting that, to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, he was basically quoting the Old Testament scriptures. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, Paul explained that the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourselves. Oh, yes, that's right. And as I just mentioned, Jesus explained it perfectly. How many would rather believe Jesus than maybe some man that is given a story? I'd rather believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this, found in Matthew right here. Then one of them, look at this, a lawyer asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall what? Shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Look at this. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Wow. Wow. And then Luke picks it up perfectly. Look at this. In Luke 10, 25 through 28. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? I love how Jesus asked these questions. Look at this. So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. Wow. Wow. You see, my friends, in fact, the entire law is fulfilled as the Christian community acts in love toward one another through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, my friends, Paul made it clear through this letter and others that the law cannot save anyone. But he did not cast aside the law as worthless. No. Believers must still be concerned with it. Otherwise, Paul would not have made this statement. Praise God. You see, my friends, no one could ever completely fulfill the law. But if someone could, the Christians, not the Judaizers, would most resemble that person of their love for one another. Praise God. And so, my friends, we're coming down to the last verse of Scripture in this Bible study tonight. And let's go there right now. In verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Wow. Wow. Like I mentioned, saints of God, I don't know how many people that I've seen getting foolish quarrels. Oh, I can't stand to be by that person. Oh, that person gives me the creeps. This is in church. And they'll leave where God has called them to another place because they wanted to have a Burger King life, having it my way. Well, here's the deal with that. People are going to continue. There's going to be people that will continue to run, and they will never be satisfied. They'll never be content. Why? Because of their sinful nature. They have not surrendered to Jesus Christ. They have not given God their surrenderance unto Him. Oh, no. And they walk around in pride. Be careful for those people because they may miss the rapture. I'm not saying, I'm not putting on the robe, but I do know this. If you have an issue and an ought with someone and you haven't resolved it, I would get it resolved quickly. Oh, that's right. Why? Because the Lord's coming back real soon. And I'd rather have my house in order. How many of you want to have your house in order before He returns? Oh, that's right. You see, my friends, Paul used the present tense in these verbs, indicating that these problems were occurring as he wrote. Such conflict threatened to tear the church apart. Well, that's right. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to use people that are carnal. They're not spiritual at all. They look like when they say praise the Lord and they put their hands up, and they may even speak in someone else's tongue. But yet, their inwardness is corrupt. They still have anger and bitterness and deceitfulness, and they spite other people. You see, my friends, I pray for those who I know that are like that. I won't mention them here. It's not my job to mention them. God already knows who they are. So you leave them at the feet of Jesus, and you move on with your call. You move on with your walk. You move on serving the Lord with your whole heart, soul, and mind, and leave the rest to God. Well, see, saints, the verbs increase in intensity, biting, devouring, and ultimately destroying one another. The source of the conflict went back to the false teachers and the confusion they were causing amongst the believers. You see, the presence of the conflict supports the theory that factions were developing in the church. Some people going with the law-centered teachers, some staying with Paul and the gospel, and some deciding to pursue their every sinful whim based on the freedom that they had in Christ. Wow, my friends. Such continued confusion would ruin their faith, their testimony, and ultimately the church itself. And while some differences of opinion would be natural, the Galatians had gone beyond that, saints of God. They disagreed on foundational issues like piranhas that were destroying one another. My friends, we are to be very careful in the times that we live in. We're seeing the signs that Jesus said in the book of Matthew. You know, on the Olivet, when Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, it's called the Olivet Discourse. And this was just a couple of days before being crucified. Four of the disciples that were with him on that had asked him some very important questions. They wanted to know when the end would come. My friends, I'm here to let you know that the end of the world is not coming, but the end of this dispensation, meaning the return of Christ, is at the door. In other words, the world as we see it now will change. You see, the church, which is the born-again church, I can't speak for all the churches around the world, but the ones that have repented of their sins, they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, they have been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, that is the true and living church, and they're everywhere around the world. And Jesus is coming back for them. He's coming back for us. Oh, that's right. Why? Because we believe that he will return and take his bride home. And when that happens, the 7-year tribulation will kick in and there's going to be chaos around the world. You think the wars right now that you see are hideous? Wow, it's going to hit home. There's going to be turmoil. There's going to be famine. There's going to be earthquakes. Oh, that's right. A lot of bowls and a lot of trumpets and a lot of vials are going to be poured out during this 7-year period. People are going to wish that they can just have rocks fall on them. Oh, there's some people that would want to die in the tribulation and they can't. God won't let them die but to suffer. Why? Because those are the folks we've been talking about. The ones that mocked God. The ones that were telling true Christians how phony Christianity is. All these evildoers and all these ones that have mocked God are going to stand before him and they're going to go through the most hideous time of all. And so, my friends, I'm here to let you know that soon and very soon, Jesus is about to appear. And we're almost out of here. How many can't wait, saints of God? Oh, that's right. You see, Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church and he indicated to them during this time how the Lord would return back again to this planet to take his church home. And here's the good news. He's not going to even touch the ground. He's touching the ground on his second coming when he sets up his millennial reign for 1,000 years. But to bring the church home with him, he's going to do it from the clouds. What? Oh, that's right. Well, where do you read that, Pastor? Where is that mentioned? Right up here. Look on your screen. Look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who what? Sleep in Jesus. Look at this. Those are the people that have died in the flesh that are buried. The bodies are in the grave. But look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord that we, You need to just make this your own now, saints of God, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, meaning those who have already died ahead of us. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Did you catch that? To meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. These words that I just read to you and what you just read should be comforting to you. That no matter what you're going through right now, some of you are going through financial hardship. Some of you are going through relational turmoil. Some of you right now are going through physical afflictions that even the doctors are saying, all I have is drugs for you to numb your pain. Jesus is going to come and take us home and give us a brand new body, a body that will never decay, never grow old, never be afflicted with pain and suffering, a body that will live forever with him. How many of you at home want that body? I do. I do. This is why I'm looking for this Rosh Hashanah. He may come on the two-day feast, the Feast of Trumpets. And if not, we got another year to wait, because I believe he's coming on the Feast of Trumpets. God's going to fulfill the seven feasts of the Lord according to the teaching and according to the study I've been truly studying on this theological. Man, saints, God just gave me a thought right now. Some of you right now have been praying for loved ones who are just caught up in this world. I want to pray for them right now. God just spoke to me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, those right now, those precious souls that are our family, our friends, our co-workers, that don't know you, God, I'm praying, Lord, give them a mind to be saved, the heart to repent. We know you're coming soon, oh God. And I pray, Lord, that you would save them, deliver them from the body of their sinfulness. Many of them have mocked you like we've talked about. Many of them have ridiculed us. But Lord, with the heart of mercy and the heart of grace that you have given us, we pray for their salvation right now. Help them, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. My friends, I'm here to let you know the next greatest event the world's going to see is when we are delivered from this body of flesh. You see, this body of flesh that you are housed in, it cannot go to heaven. Why? Because we're bound to the law of gravity here on this earth. Flesh and blood cannot go into heaven. But our brand new body will be a spiritual body. A body like Jesus when he rose again. He was the first prototype. And the Bible's clear. And it explains what's going to take place soon and very soon. Look at this. Found in 1 Corinthians. Look at that. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. That's it. That's going to be the next greatest event, my friends, that the world is ever going to see. The rapture of the church. And it could come this Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, September 26th, and the second day of that feast, September 27th. And if not, praise God. We got another year to serve the living God, to win others to Christ. But we should always be looking up, for our redemption draws nigh, meaning it's close now. Time is running close. But I'm speaking to maybe those who have never given your heart to the Lord. They've never given their even thought of salvation. They look at Christianity. They look at us Christians. Oh, that's good for you. I'm glad you found God. But maybe, you just logged on. And now God is convicting your heart. God is telling you to get right with Him. Listen, my friends, what you're about to see, don't let this happen to you when Jesus comes. I need you to look at this for one quick moment. Look at this right here.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
Wow, my friends, are you ready? Are you ready to receive God? Are you ready to invite Him into your life? Some of you have been fighting against God since the day you were born, and now God's going to give you an opportunity. You're probably saying, "Preacher, how do I get there?" It's easy. 2,000 years ago, the very first sermon regarding salvation was preached by the Apostle Peter, that happened to be on the day of Pentecost. Let's look what he wrote here. Let's look at this. Luke wrote it in the book of Acts. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent.'" That means make an about face. Turn your back to sin and turn your heart toward God and walk to Him now. "And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins." That means forgiveness of sins. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That gift is eternal life. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Wow. Well, there it is, my friends. There it is. Praise God. In a nutshell, that's what we do. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed to know that God made a way for you to give your heart to God? Just repent. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Acknowledge that you need Him in your life. Acknowledge that He's merciful. He's gracious. He's a good God, a loving God. He came to save us from our sin. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask all the Amazing Grace family that's watching to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would invite Jesus to come into your life and that you would become born again. The Bible's clear. Except the man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so, if that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Listen, someone just got saved. And if you got saved, down below, you can see our banner. Log on and reach out to us. Our email's there. Just go there to our website and our phone number's there. We'd love to give you a Bible and put it in your hand and point you and direct you to a church that'll teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God. And so I want to thank each and every one of you who have been such a blessing to this fellowship, to this church. And down below as well, donations are deeply appreciated. And so I hope you were blessed this evening's message, Trouble Not the Children of God, found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 10 through 15. It was a blessing to come into your living rooms. I look forward to seeing you all this Sunday morning, live person service, in-person service at 10 a.m. And listen, we're going to have wonderful worship, and then we're going to have potluck, home fellowship immediately following our service, and then at 1 o'clock, our healing rooms from 1 to 2:30. It's going to be a power-packed Sunday. I'm looking forward to seeing you all. And so, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and myself, I want to leave you our benediction as we close this evening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Well, my friends, we love you. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California, this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Be blessed, and we'll see you soon. Good night.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.